Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
And welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, Sarah, and this is the second part of this week's episode, looking at the texts assigned for the second Sunday after Pentecost. The last part of this episode was the Old Testament texts, and those were from Genesis, Exodus, and Psalm 100. And today we will be looking at the New Testament texts. Before we get started on those texts, I just thought I'd check in with you, see how your week is going, see how your summer is going. We are officially into summer, although, as I mentioned the other day, it is really, really hot here, so it's felt like we've been in summer for quite some time. I kept seeing all these posts on Facebook saying, you know, Facebook and the Google Doodle and all sorts of other places saying, you know, yay, first day of summer. And I kept thinking, ugh, no, it's like the 97th day of summer, which is an exaggeration because we actually had a fairly nice spring that wasn't too broiling hot. But June is making up for that nice spring, and we have been over 100 for about the last week or so, I think, hovering around 100 at least. So it's not going away anytime soon, and like I said the other day, if you are in these crazy temperatures, please find ways to keep cool and hydrated. Hydrating is important. I know this is a Bible study podcast, but I'm here to tell you to hydrate. Hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. So take that for whatever you wish to take it as. Anyway, as I mentioned, we are doing the New Testament readings assigned for this week, the second Sunday after Pentecost. That was June 18th, 2017. And the first of those readings is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. And those verses are as follows. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to his grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So this is the first of the two New Testament texts assigned for the second Sunday after Pentecost. It is Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. And this is a wonderful text. There's so much in this text. This is a really important text from a Lutheran perspective, from a lot of perspectives. But Lutherans talk about the justification by faith through grace. That is an extremely important part of our tradition coming from Martin Luther. And I know I've talked about this a little bit before, but I'm not sure if I've really given you much of the history behind it. And you may be wondering why this is such an important doctrine to Lutherans. And it's because Martin Luther, I'm not sure how much you know about Martin Luther, but Martin Luther was actually a monk. He was studying to be a lawyer. His parents really wanted him to be a lawyer, so he was studying to be a lawyer. And one day on his way back to school, he got caught in this crazy, horrible, awful lightning storm. And as he was cowering down, trying to stay, you know, away from the lightning, away from getting hit by lightning or anything else, he made a promise to God that if he made it out of that storm, he would dedicate his life to God. He would become a monk. And he made it out, and he kept his word. He became a monk. And as a monk, he studied a lot. He was eventually a professor. He did all these things. But one thing that he was struggling with was he was just beset with guilt. He would go to his confessor all the time, multiple times a day, I think. And he, there's one thing that says he would come out of the confessional after having just confessed every sin he could think of and immediately think of more sins. So he was going to confession all the time. And fortunately, he had a confessor who was sympathetic to his plight, who wanted to help him work through these feelings and try to find ways that were productive. And so this was how Luther became a professor. And he was sent to teach and to kind of give him something else to focus on and hopefully to help him alleviate some of that guilt so he wasn't constantly thinking about all of the sins that he had committed. And as he was learning and studying and lecturing, etc., he came across the book of Romans. And this is one of those passages. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. This gave Luther so much comfort, this idea of being justified by faith, being justified through grace. And this really informed his way of thinking. And Martin Luther didn't actually want to break from the Roman Catholic Church. He enjoyed his life as a monk. He enjoyed learning. He enjoyed all those things. He just found other ways of thinking about things. And when he tried to talk about them, he was shut down. He was told that, you know, those weren't proper doctrinal thoughts. And so that's when he started writing his 95 Theses. This is a really, really abbreviated version of Martin Luther's life, by the way. But that's what prompted him to write his 95 Theses, which sounds like an act of protest, but really, you know, nailing something to the church door was kind of like a bulletin board. That was a way to put things up in order to generate conversation. And so he nailed those 95 Theses up, those 95 talking points, and then things kind of snowballed from there. At any rate, the book of Romans was extraordinarily important to Martin Luther because he realized that in his life, as he was struggling with this guilt, as he was struggling with confessing his sins, there was never enough that he could do that would make God love him enough or more. He could never live up to the expectations he thought that God had for him, that God has for us. And so he really struggled. He was always confessing his sins. He was always looking for that forgiveness. What could he be given as penance to make up for the sins that he had committed? And then he found these words of hope in the book of Romans, talking about how we are justified by faith. We have been justified because of our Lord Jesus Christ's work on the cross, that God sent Jesus to be a human, and that at the right time, Christ died for us, not at the right time because we were perfect, because of course no human is or was perfect at the time that Christ died for us, but at the right time in the plan for the world. And Christ came and died for us, again, not because we are or were perfect, but because God loves us. God was willing to go to such incredibly great lengths for us to send God's only son to live amongst humans and to experience life as a human and all of those things. And Christ, you know, as we talked about last week with the Holy Trinity, Christ as part of that Godhead accepted this, you know, Christ was both fully man and fully human. So I just said that fully human and fully God is what I meant to say, fully God and fully human. So Christ could have gotten himself off of that cross. God could have gotten Christ off of that cross, but it gave us this incredible gift of grace. And we talk about that in the promises of baptism, and we talk about that in the promises of Holy Communion, and it's just this amazing and wonderful gift. And I do want to talk a little bit more about this section from Romans chapter 5, but we're going to take our first break of the podcast, so stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are talking about Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, one of the New Testament readings assigned for this week, the second Sunday after Pentecost. And I have to have a little nerdy side moment here for a moment and say that whenever I read this section of Romans chapter 5, these verses 3 through 5 that say, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us. I always think of Star Wars, excuse me. Oh my gosh, I just made a major sci-fi faux pas right there. I always think of Star Wars and Yoda, who is telling Luke that, you know, all of these things lead to the dark side, that it's anger and hatred and fear and all of those things. Fear leads to anger leads to hatred. Gonna get yelled at by people who know the line better than I do, and I should have looked it up. I've only seen that movie 8,000 times, but I always think of that these things lead into one another. And Yoda's is a cautionary tale, of course, of things that lead toward the dark side. Paul's is a more not lighthearted. It's hopeful because it does lead to hope. But again, here we have this concept of suffering, but that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint. And I've been talking some about hope in my life, not necessarily so much on the podcast, but just in general, that I have really been looking, on the podcast, you know, during Easter when I was talking about resurrection moments, and those kind of are hopeful moments for me. But those moments of hope, whatever they are, whether they're big or small, really, really keep me going. They give my life some more purpose when I am feeling just horribly down or depressed or discouraged. Hope is what keeps me going. And I do want to look a little bit at one of the commentaries that I read for this week, and that comes from Elizabeth Shively, who is a lecturer in New Testament studies at the University of St. Andrews, Scotland, UK, which just sounds fabulous. I want to be a lecturer at St. Andrews in Scotland. It's not going to happen, but hey, I can dream, right? She says, we often talk of hope as wishful thinking. I hope it won't rain, or I hope I win the lottery. I hope my team wins the Super Bowl. She says, but Paul's concept of hope in Romans is different. And she says, he introduces hope in the story of Abraham's faith, and develops the concept in chapter 5. For Paul, she says, hope isn't wishful thinking, but absolute certainty about the future because it is grounded in God's faithfulness to keep his promise. That is, what God will do for the believer in Christ is grounded on what God has done for the believer in Christ. And how amazing is that when we think of it like that, that this isn't, you know, this sort of wishful thinking, as she says, you know, oh, I wish this would happen, or I wish my life were different, or I wish I could accomplish that, or, you know, I wish I could be a lecturer in New Testament studies at the University of St. Andrews in Scotland. It's not wishful thinking. Hope instead is grounded in God's love, in God's promises, grounded in the promises that were made to us through the work of Christ, through Christ's death and resurrection, through Christ's ascension and being seated at the right hand of God. Our hope is this amazing gift. It does give our life purpose and meaning because it is grounded in the love of God. And so I talk about hope a lot, and I'm going to need to do a little more thinking on this as I go through my week, but this really helps me because hope is amazing, and hope is what keeps me going. But being reminded that hope is grounded in God's love for me, that hope is grounded in the work that Christ has done for me, that hope is grounded in the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life, that hope is grounded in this triune God, that is amazing, and that is a wonderful gift. And I'm so glad that I read these words this week and was reminded of God's love for me, of this gift that I have been given, of this hope that is a constant in my life. Because I do look for those moments of hope. I do look for those times when, even if I'm feeling discouraged or depressed or just my life doesn't feel like it's going the way I wish it would or I hope it would, I don't have that's not the last word. the world doesn't have the last word. We have hope because God always has the last word. So I'm going to move on now and look at the New Testament text for this week. And it's a little bit lengthy. It comes from the Gospel of Matthew, both chapters 9 and 10. And it's Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through chapter 10, verse 8. But like the Genesis read or the Exodus reading from the other day, it has those alternate verses that are in brackets. So you can stop at verse 8 or you can continue on and read chapter 10 verses 9 through 23, which is what I will be doing for today's podcast. And those verses are as follows. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits, to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You receive without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who is in it, worthy, and stay there. And stay there until you leave, excuse me. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. See, I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. So again, that was from the Gospel of Matthew, starting with chapter 9, verse 35, and going through chapter 10, verse 23. And it's quite a lengthy passage. There's a lot in there. The first section, the ending of chapter 9, there's a couple things that stands out for me. First, it's that Jesus sees, he goes out into the cities and the villages. He's teaching, he's proclaiming good news. He's curing disease and sickness. And when he sees the crowds, he has compassion for them. The crowds, you know, had heard of Jesus. They're following him everywhere. And he doesn't look at them and think, ugh, why won't they just leave me alone? No, he has compassion for them because, as the text says, they were harassed and helpless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. So they're these sort of poor, lost souls who just need some direction, and Jesus is there to give it to them. And not only Jesus, but after he sees these crowds, these sheep without a shepherd, that is when he sends his disciples out. And then that last part, verses 37 and 38, I worked at a summer camp called Christicon in Montana, and I have talked about that before, but I always think of the director, Bob, when I read these verses, because whenever Bob was looking for volunteers to do anything, and, you know, people were kind of reluctant to volunteer, as people often are for things that they don't necessarily want to do, he would always say, "Oh Lord, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." And I cannot read those words without hearing them in Bob's voice. So that's a nice memory, and it always makes me smile. But he says, "Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And that's when Jesus sends out the disciples. We are going to talk more about this text, but we are going to take our second break of the podcast. So stay tuned, and we will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch, whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are talking about the gospel assigned for this week from chapters 9 and 10 of the Gospel of Matthew. And as I mentioned before the break, this is, you know, a lengthy gospel. There's a lot in it. So Jesus sends his disciples out into the world, and he sends them out to do the things that he has been doing. At the end of chapter 9, where we started this section, Jesus is going out into the towns and the cities. He is healing, he's preaching, he's bringing good news, and this is what he sends the disciples out to do. He is calling them to, you know, advance beyond simply being the student, and to go out and start to do what they will have to do after Jesus is gone. They are going to have to take up Jesus's ministry. They're going to have to go out into the world themselves and teach and preach, and you know, they will be Christ in this world when Christ is no longer with them. He gives them clear instructions, and then he sends them out to do this work that he has given. And one thing that I want to talk about is this commentary that I read this week from, from Greg Carey, who's the professor of New Testament at Lancaster Theological Seminary in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And I like what he says about Jesus giving the instructions. He says that Jesus sends them out with very specific instructions, but once sent out, they are on their own. He says they must assess the responses of the cities. They determine whether to stay or to move along. So, you know, Jesus gives those instructions of if the town is welcoming, if the people are welcoming, if they are accepting of what the teachings are saying, then that's great. If they're not, just move on. You know, he says, shake the dust from your sandals and move on. But he doesn't, you know, those are both sort of specific, but also sort of vague instructions, right? The disciples themselves are going to have to make the determination. So he says instructions only take us so far. The faithful church must move beyond Jesus himself as the disciples do. He says, yet many Christians and too many churches want direct instructions for every issue. He says, a student recently asked him for guidance about what the Bible has to say on a specific topic, and the student seemed surprised when the commentator suggested that perhaps he was asking the wrong question. He says, when we think about things like economics and government, we don't ask the Bible to tell us how to manage things directly. Instead, we ask how the Bible may inform our vision of a just society. Most of the Bible's instructions are, you know, they're very specific. They're in very specific contexts. They don't always relate directly A to B with what is going on in our lives today, but they can inform the decisions that we make. He says the Bible simply does not address things like dating, egalitarian relationships, and women who have built lives of their own, right? Things that are existing in our current society. In this conversation, he says that I suggested that the parts of the Bible not pertinent to the student's question might not say anything directly at all. Don't things like compassion, justice, and love say more to us today? How do the words of Jesus speak to us about any given subject? How do those topics of honesty, compassion, and justice inform how we go about making decisions? He says that the point is simple. Our search for instructions often detracts from the main thing. Where the realm of heaven is breaking out, we find healing and liberation. He says that is what we need to know. Jesus' ministry and that of his disciples entail the exorcism of demons, an issue that will pose a stumbling block for many people, many congregations. And, you know, you can kind of skip over that detail as might sound kind of baffling or irrelevant. But we should think about all of these instructions that Jesus gives more deeply, because even things like this concept of exorcising demons, and whether you believe that's, you know, literal demons or the demons that we talk about that we face every day, such as depression or addiction or, you know, eating disorders, whatever you define as your own personal demons, whether those are literal or not, we need to know that Jesus sends out his disciples, and that's part of what they're going out to do, what they're going out to heal and teach and, you know, do all of those things, because we often sometimes think that those types of demons are usually found in other people, in those people, right? Not necessarily in us, depending on what the demon, however you define that, is. But he says that many, and in parentheses puts all, question mark, many people find themselves bound by behaviors, patterns, or structures that they cannot escape, often cursing themselves when they repeat the same behavior time and again. And so when we imagine the realm of exorcism, he says, let us imagine liberation, freedom from powers that constrain us and prevent us from living full human lives. So that's just one way of looking at this. What I appreciate about his commentary is that he takes this commentary and the sending out of the disciples and says, what does that mean for us? Because we too are sent out into the world. We're not given these same specific instructions per se. You know, Jesus doesn't say, go out and teach and preach and do these things as I have instructed you. But Jesus does send us out into the world. God gives us gifts and abilities, and the Holy Spirit goes out with us into the world. So whatever our gifts and abilities are, whether we are a teacher, whether we are a doctor, whether we are a janitor, whether we are anything in the world, we are sent out into the world to share God's love with each other. But those instructions, you know, there's not specific instructions that say, okay, you cannot look in the index of the Bible. It's not like you just go in it's like an encyclopedia or something, and you look in the index and look under, this person was extremely horribly rude and awful to me. What does Jesus say I should do? And there are places in the Bible that you can look for that, but it's not as though you can look in an index of every single thing that's going to happen to you during the day, every single encounter that's going to happen to you in a given day, in a given week. There, the Bible isn't going to address everything in detailed specificity, right? But what does the Bible say? Well, the Bible says to love your neighbor as you love yourself. The Bible says to take care of the poor and the widow and the orphan. The Bible says to heal those who need healing, to love those who need loving. The Bible says so many amazing and beautiful things that can help us and that can help ground us in that hope that we were talking about from the book of Romans. So whatever it is that you are going out into the world to do, do so knowing that God goes with you. You've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Go out knowing that you have been given the example of Christ, the love of Christ, that Christ shows to everyone that he encounters. Go out knowing that you are given the promises of God, that God has promised to, you know, never abandon us, that we will always have the words of Christ, we will always have the words of God, we will always have the Holy Spirit as our advocate going out into the world with us. And for me, that definitely helps me to stay rooted in those words of hope that we were talking about from the book of Romans. So I hope that whatever is going on with you in your life right now, big or small, happy or sad, whatever it is, I hope that you can take the words of the Bible, the words of God, and apply those to your life in ways that give you hope, in ways that take you out into the world to live with love and compassion, and sharing Christ's love, sharing God's love with every person that you meet. I want to thank you for joining me this week. I hope you will join me next time as we turn to the texts for next week, the third Sunday after Pentecost. As always, you can find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download those podcasts on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, etc. All of those apps that are out there that you can download to have podcasts on your mobile devices, you can use those, and you can find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr, GSMC Bible Study, excuse me. So again, thank you for joining me. Join me again next time for the text assigned for this third Sunday after Pentecost. I hope you find hope in your lives. I hope that you can go out and share the love of God. And as you are doing that, I hope that you will remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.